Okay, we're here at the town clock, and we are at the beginning of a march for the rights of homeless people and to end the sleeping ban. And someone has taken exception to the... Boy, that is one beleaguered flag up there, Patrick. Yeah, is this the flag that caused so much consternation at City Hall about 6 days ago or so?
Yeah, seven to last Friday. Yeah,
a week ago today.
Yeah, it was this particular flag right here. A guy objected to, and I ended up going to jail for it.
And you had nothing to do with the flag winding up in its current state?
No, I didn't. I like it though. It looks good. Stop the pressing of more
homeless, you know. There's all kinds of things happening. On the 27th, the Network Against Psychiatric Assault is asking people to travel up to Richmond. They're going to have a demonstration at the East Bay Hospital in Richmond regarding stopping the abuse of psychiatric patients at the East Bay Hospital. I would like these to be, you know, duplicated and passed around. I only have three of them. It's going to be Saturday, July 27th, 1:30. Meet at Richmond BART station for March 2 Hospital. At 2 o'clock, picket and rally at hospital. You will meet people who are very much like all of you. It's sponsored by NAPA, Network Against Psychiatric Assault. I'm from a group called PERC, Psychiatric Inmates Rights Collective. There are no rights for mental patients. It is a collective, however, and if anybody would want to speak with me after about visiting the incarcerated people in Harbor Hills or Dominican Mental Health Unit, because it's likely you'll end up there and you better know how to get out. So you can speak with me later. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
There's a lot of apple pie.
It seems to me that the reason why we're all here is to end the camping ban and stop the harassment of homeless people, is to fight fascism in our community. That it appears to me that there is a very small group of people, the city council, a police department that's already brainwashed, already got guns, already got sticks, already been properly educated to believe in the system. They already been properly educated about doing whatever they're told, upholding the laws. If they're told to put people in jail for sleeping, they'll do it. They are doing it. We see that we're in a situation where police are being perpetrated or educated more than people. We see we're in a situation where police is growing. Bill Clinton himself, the Clinton administration, has put 100,000 more cops throughout this nation. Presently, there's 25 prisons being built that has the capacity to hold tens of thousands of more people. That's happening right now. We see that there's 1,000 people in Santa Cruz that don't have homes that are subject to these laws that are in direct violation of their rights. We understand that in order to stop that, we've got to get together. We've got to unify our community. If we don't unify the community, then what are we talking about? It doesn't matter how many righteous stands you take as individuals. If we don't unify the community, fascism will spread, and we'll all have a bad, bad reality if we don't already. The Revolutionary Coalition, who organized or did the work to have this happen, initiated that from happening, wants to have a march every Friday at 6 o'clock. We're asking the community to come down and do that. We want the community, we want groups, and we want more people to come down and do that and keep unifying. We're in support of the people that have been down at City Hall that have been fighting for over 130 days. That too is a very powerful stand, and all those people need to be upheld and supported as well, and we need to unite with them as well. So we want to encourage people to go down to City Hall and support that struggle, support them. But we also understand that it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of education. A lot of people talk about change but don't do what really needs to be done, which is the actual political work, the actual walking and talking, the actual hooking up with individuals and getting organizations involved, the actual speaking out, the actual writing and getting flyers and propaganda and knowledge out, the actual tabling, marching, demonstrating, going door to door, getting on the phone, talking with your neighbors, you know? All that type of political work has to be done by all of us who are willing and ready. We also understand that this struggle is only part of the whole world struggle. as one, we want to stop the harassment of homeless people. We want to stop the harassment of all people.
Right.
And we have to unify all people to stop this harassment. There is a worldwide struggle going on, and we can be involved in it, engage in it, if we desire, if we want to do that. But it will mean that we have to actually sacrifice and struggle and do whatever is necessary to solve the problems in the world. Capitalism, most assuredly, has got to be overthrown worldwide. White supremacy has got to be defeated and thrown into grace forever. Male domination and patriarchy has got to be buried forever. The idea that one human being is superior to another human being, buried. The idea that men can put their hands on women and rape them, buried. The idea that children get molested, buried. The idea that the earth is to be just owned and carved up and privatized and poisoned and polluted, bury all that shit together, just bury it all. But we have to do it worldwide so that we can have freedom for everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo! Yeah.
And I'd like, the last thing is, I'd like to encourage everybody and anybody here to raise your voice and speak up about whatever you know, whatever you think, whatever your perspective is, whatever your knowledge is, and share it with us.
Good mind and me. Good Lord, that's you. We're going to eat first before we...
Mr. Paulo, I'd like to second his call for getting involved with the largest struggle in the world. We had a woman here in town named Dorothy Granada. She's been a nurse in the war zones in Nicaragua since 1986 or so. She came here and she said, "What? You don't even let the poor people lie down?" She had a poor Nicaraguan woman from the war zone. She said, "This would never happen in Nicaragua. We let the poor people lie down. We let them build shacks. You can't build a shack in Santa Cruz. The reason we do not have a place to live is not because there's not enough money.
Right.
Nicaragua is almost as poor as Haiti, and everybody's got a place to live, because nobody kicks them out.
Yeah.
We have to make it real clear that not having a house is a political decision when you live in a climate like this. Think about it. It's a political decision that you can't sleep in a dry place. Because all it takes is $2.98 at Ace Hardware, and there you've got a tarp, and you're dry for the night. Why can't you be dry for the night? Because it's a political decision that's been made here that people who aren't dropping big money in this town got to move on.
That's right.
You know that. You notice this?
That's right.
As long as you're dropping big money, no problem.
Yeah.
Just wait till you get sick. Bang! You got no place to live. I'm selling corporate internets to Fortune 500 companies. I was homeless when I got the job. Now think about it. You're here five years, you're here 10 years, it don't matter. As soon as you run out of money, everybody goes, "Hey, tourist town, out of here, kid." It's like, oh, poor people, somewhere else, not in our town. Well, this is wrong, because Santa Cruz is the county seat. If this is the capital of Santa Cruz County, this is where the county building is. They're not moving the county building out. They're not moving those jobs out. They're leaving the county building and all those civil service jobs right here in town. And civil service jobs, having the county government here, means this is where social services happen, and this is where poor people have to be to get their food stamps, to get their medical care, and to get taken care of. We got the jail here. This is where everybody has to come to do business with the authorities. And saying, "Sorry, kids, you got to sleep outside the city limits," doesn't cut it. I'd like to urge all of you to come down to the vigil whenever you have a chance. There's some real good folks at the vigil, of course. Dan Hopkins, you can almost always find him there. And we've been there for how many days now, Dan?
134 now.
All right.
134 days.
Woo! Let's not see 200. Let's just break the back of this fucking sleeping, 30-year sleeping bag.
Power to the people.
Yep. Power to the people.
Yeah, we gotta make it clear that this idea that poor folks don't live here because Santa Cruz is too cool, this idea's gotta go. We gotta make it clear that sleeping is not a crime. Okay, camping, you hang out, you bother people, that's one thing. But sleeping, when you got no place to go, you can't pass a law against sleep. It's normal. You can't keep people from sleeping. Everybody's got the right to sleep for the night when they're too tired to go on. Don't matter who you are. It don't matter if you're nuts. It don't matter if you're alcoholic. Doesn't matter if you're a drug addict. Doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. Everybody's got a right to sleep. And this is a real basic human right that our local government does not recognize, and this has to change. So. Right.
It's a trickeration of words. It's how they use all those trickery of words to get shit done.
And I'm letting her speak. Go ahead.
Oh, anyway, if you can't stay the night at City Hall, that's okay, because we need folks there during the day. Come down to City Hall, get plugged in, start organizing, because they're going to run all the poor people out of this town, they're going to run all the creativity out of this town, and they're going to turn it into a L.A. kind of police state with nothing but money and shopping malls if we don't make our stand. So I'm like, with that, let's go for it. Let's all meet at City Hall anytime you got some free time, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. City Hall himself. Are you ready to talk?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew. I'm in your mind.
Go for it, Hi,
I'm Liz. I guess for me, what I've seen in Santa Cruz, I haven't lived here that long. But already I can't find a place to live because I have an animal, and that's a whole other situation here as well.
They'll give your animal a place to live, but they won't give a fuck about the house.
Oh, no, they'll kill the animal. anyways, but what I've seen here is, like, I've seen a lot of energy directed towards the people in City Hall and Mike Rodkins, and where I've seen it, I haven't been here that long, but what I know about community is, like, where the fuck's the community? It's the responsibility of the people together unifying that changes things. Without a community unifying, the few at the top will control us. And if we continue to stay in our homes, watching our television, staying asleep, avoiding going down where City Hall is, that street, not looking, turning away, walking down into the shops, you know, ching, 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 ching. You know what I mean? We don't have to upset our lives. We don't have to think that maybe we're one paycheck away from that reality. We have a society afraid of death. We have a society afraid of being poor. We have a society afraid of color. We have a society afraid of dreadlocks. You know, I mean, this is what's going on, you know? And I think that we need to do a massive community outreach. Go to these people's houses. Say, I want a blanket. There's people that are down there, and the police are taking their blankets every day. They've collected like 100-something blankets, you know, just taking them. And they can continue to do that, you know, abuse the rights of the homeless as long as we're still in our houses watching television. And that's what I'm...
Hooray for the yuppie!
Well, let's go!
Let's march!
Show your signs! Woo! Yeah, Mike!
Earthquake country.
Where's Mike's flag?
Let's go.
Okay.
All right.
We're waiting for Mike to say,
fuck that J-Wan!
Hey,
we can't just block the street off. They'll run right over our ass. Because they're in a hurry to get home. And what? Married with children.
Mike, Lita.
And Jay Leno. Fuck all you Jay Leno watching motherfucking punks.
And the sleeping bag.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch. And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war on the porch.
And the war
on the porch.
And the war.
Hey, Robert.
And the war
on the porch.
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 On the war. Mike, lead us in another thing.
Huh?
Lead us.
Yeah, what a town, huh?
Yeah. I thought this place would be a lot better. I'm from New York, and I moved out here 2.5 years ago. And I thought this, my friend told me it was a good place to come, but I don't know if I took his word or could take his word. Or why? Because they arrest all these people. If you don't have a house over your head, they arrest you, right?
$162 fine for
sleeping.
Yeah,
$162 ticket or jail for 5 days. Plus, not even that, they confiscate your sleeping bag and your whatever stuff you have to sleep with. That's not right.
You could find a better criminal record, too.
Really absurd and unjust. Unjust and absurd, that's what they call it.
The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
Recall Rocket! Recall Rocket!
peace.
No justice. No peace. No justice. No peace. No justice. No peace.
No justice. No peace.
No justice. No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
Pacific Garden Mall!
End fascism in America!
Yeah. Fight fascism! Boycott the mall!
Fight fascism!
Freedom for the
homeless! Freedom for everybody! Not just the rich!
Freedom to eat! Freedom to sleep!
Freedom to feed!
Freedom to sleep!
Freedom to feed!
Freedom to sleep!
Freedom to be.
Freedom to sleep.
We don't live in Little Jackie Go.
Hey, hey.
Ho, ho.
We don't live in Little Jackie Go.
Fight fascism. Let the homeless sleep.
Don't
persecute the homeless.
Capitalism is a hate crime. Don't let the system.
And you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides from Jail. This is Becky Johnson, your guest hostess, and you're listening to 96.3 FM, Free Radio, Santa Cruz. And what you've just been listening to was the March for Freedom for poor people and low-income people and homeless people. That was the first march of a series of marches that are planned every Friday, meeting at the town clock at 6 p.m. And last Friday we had Feed the People was there with a meal, and I think plans are to have a meal at the town clock every Friday at 6 or shortly before, and followed by a march sponsored by the Revolutionary Coalition, which has declared an end of the sleeping ban as their main agenda of focus. So I want you all to turn out for that. Now let me tell you about some upcoming events that are on tap. On Wednesday, July 17th, Food Not Bombs in San Francisco is staging a rally and march to free Robert Norse Kahn. This will begin at 12 noon at 850 Bryant Street, followed by a march through the Tenderloin, past the Farmers Market, to the temporary City Hall located at McAllister and Van Ness. Arriving there approximately 1:30. So if you're planning on being up at the city on Wednesday, make sure you join in for that rally in March. Call Food Not Bombs San Francisco at area code 415-985-7087 for details. Or you could also call the Huff line locally here, 423-HUFF, for more information about that rally and for other information about other events coming up. On July 19th will be the benefit for the City Hall Sleepers protest. This is being held at the Pacific Cultural Center, 7 to 11 p.m., which is located at the corner of Seabright and Broadway. Be featuring folk music by Mark Levy, Carla Fay, and Larry Hildes. We're a little surprised to hear that Larry is musically inclined, but apparently he is. So that's an $8 to $10 sliding scale. So please come down on July 19th and support. This is raising money for the City Hall Sleepers protest and the legal defense. On July 22nd, will be a beach potluck at the beach right next to the Crow's Nest. And that will be sponsored by Mike Witte. It's supposed to be bring together all of the organizers in the social event. And so that's July 22nd. And then on August 2nd is a hearing on the demurrer in Department 1, which is Judge Tom Kelly's court. And that's where local attorney Kate Wells, Larry Hildes, and public defender Ed Chun will all be challenging the constitutionality of the sleeping ban law, or at issue the constitutionality of the camping ban law. And many of the sleeping ban and covering up with blanket ban tickets that people have received both from the protest and elsewhere are being bundled together under this demurrer. So I highly encourage the Free Radio listening audience to come down to the courtroom on August 2nd. I believe it's at 9 in the morning. If that's not correct, we'll update you on that later. Also, if you would like to write Robert Norris Kahn in jail, please address your letters and correspondences to prisoner number 1472209. He's in CJ8-F pod, F as in Frank, dash 41B, and that's at 425 7th Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. And Free Radio listeners, I'm sure, know that Robert Norris Kahn is currently in County Jail 8, having been convicted of the so-called crime of having given away bagels, soup, and salad to hungry homeless people at San Francisco Civic Center Plaza. And Robert's case has gotten international attention. The third largest newspaper in Japan has sent out a reporter from New York City to interview him. The Washington Post has interviewed him. He's been on the radio and is even I even have a clipping from an Australian paper. So apparently this concept of putting people in jail for giving away food is one that has attracted a lot of attention to some of the ridiculousness that has come from our criminal justice system in terms of how many people they're locking up and for the increasingly minimal nature of what these acts these people committed, meriting a trip to the county jail. So please write Robert in jail. And he appreciates telephone calls, too. You can even call the Huff line at 423-HUFF and leave a message for Robert there. Or probably a better way of contacting him currently would be to call the Food Not Bombs hotline in San Francisco at 415-985-7087 and press the star key and leave a message for Robert, and he checks that fairly frequently. So support the Freedom to Feed, Freedom to Sleep. This is Becky Johnson, your guest hostess, while Robert's in the county can. Okay, the march has gone down Pacific Avenue, up Pacific Avenue, turned a little bit short of Bookshop Santa Cruz, I'm sorry to say. And now we're arriving at City Hall with the distressed American flag in the lead. This is an upside-down flag with holes in it, graffiti, and cut up in burn marks. A pretty sad-looking flag there, indicating the unsatisfactory attitude towards this crowd has towards how the government is treating homeless people. Okay, so you've been holding.
Apparently there was a bike in the road. Jay stopped what he was doing.
I don't know if you saw the flag.
Would you like to join us? Oh, okay.
We'll be the Radical Fringe Group.
Radical Fringe Group?
We're supporting terrorism.
Yeah,
we're supporting the end of terrorism.
That's true. Very true.
Legislation doesn't work, just let us know.
Okay, hi, we're on the line with Will Hastings in Santa Barbara. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing just fine, Becky, thank you.
Yeah, so what is the current situation now with the camping ban law in Santa Barbara?
There's still a ban on camping. Well, it's not a ban on camping. There are perhaps three inaccessible areas in Santa Barbara where homeless folks can camp, but they can't camp anyplace else. Bad thing about Santa Barbara is that no homeless person has any place to sleep.
Ah, well, we're running into the same problem up here.
Yeah, I see that Santa Cruz is trying to outdo Santa Barbara as the city without a heart. Interesting comparison. One of the problems that we've had is that we have a very hostile merchant community, and I suppose Santa Cruz does too, but These people have no tolerance for homeless folks. And it's really too bad, because in many instances they could be their mothers or the sisters or fathers or brothers or uncles or aunts. Just people that need a helping hand, and I guess the almighty dollar talks.
Well, isn't homelessness is rising nationwide, isn't that true?
I would think so.
It's been steadily rising since 1980, when Ronald Reagan came into power.
Mm-hmm.
And but personally, I know more people now who are homeless who have never been homeless before in their lives. Up in this area, and
I think it's true all over the country, Becky. It's a sign of the times.
Yeah, between cuts in social service programs, high cost of living, and wages that just have not kept pace with the cost of living.
Right.
And yet, homeless people are often blamed for that they made some personal choices that resulted in their homelessness. We hear that a lot.
That's a fallacy. That's a real fallacy. Mitch Snyder said, you give a homeless person the chance to sleep outdoors or in a nice motel room, they'll opt for the motel room at any time.
Yeah, right. That doesn't take much brains to figure that one out.
Right.
Yeah, I've often thought that one of the major problems with homelessness is that people don't have a home. Give them a place to live or a home, or you'll see a lot of the so-called problems with homelessness disappear.
Yeah, I've always considered if the nation spent more time concerning itself with housing for all and jobs for all, then we certainly wouldn't have the problem we have today.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's, in California anyway, it's the 1930s grapes of wrath revisited.
Yeah, it's also seems to be feeding an ever-hungry prison system.
Yes, it's abysmal that California leads the world in inmate population and continues to grow.
And our favorite inmate, Robert Nurse Khan, is cooling his heels in County Jail 8 in San Francisco as we speak.
Well, I understand that he's also doing some quiet organizing of the inmates there for better things to come.
Yeah, revolving around the lack of a law library.
Mm-hmm.
In this brand new jail that cost $130 million to build.
Wow.
And they forgot to put a law library in there.
Uh-huh.
So Robert's been circulating a petition in both English and Spanish among the inmates.
Well, that's interesting commentary in the Times. It's a $130 million jail to house a person that served soup to the indigent without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a a good use of our tax dollars there. So what exactly is the sleeping ban law currently in Santa Barbara?
It's that it's unlawful to sleep on public property, improved or unimproved, in the city of Santa Barbara.
And that's 24 hours a day?
That's 24 hours a day. And they have made three areas that I say are inaccessible. The only good news on the homeless front that we have to report from Santa Barbara is a homeless person took a panhandling case to jury trial and got a jury acquittal on the panhandling, saying that what he was doing was really free speech. But other than that, you know, I think it's neck and neck with Santa Cruz as to which city is going to be the most, well, is going to have the title of the meanest spirited city in the country.
Now, if it's illegal to sleep 24 hours a day in Santa Barbara, and that, I suppose, applies also to vehicles?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What about, you know, if some people are in the city park and they take a little nap on the grass? That's illegal?
Yes, it is. Of course, if they're good, upstanding burghers of the community, they won't be arrested.
So it's more, there's kind of a dress, so there's a dress code sort of enforced. If you're a little tattered looking, then you're likely to get a ticket.
Right.
But, you know, if you're, have appropriate yuppie garb, then chances are you will not get ticketed.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
And then again, there, once in a while, you'll see a city council person dozing off during the sessions of the city council.
Oh, my.
And they're in violation of the law.
And they're not ticketed.
Not ticketed.
That's never happened, right? Not so surprising. We also have a band here in Santa Cruz on covering up with blankets is illegal. Mm-hmm. But only between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m.
I see.
So if it's a cold night and you're wrapped in a blanket to keep warm at 11 o'clock, you better throw that blanket off because you'll be running the risk of a $162 ticket.
My gosh.
For protecting yourself from the elements.
Well, I think that bit of progressive legislation on the behalf of your city fathers and mothers probably puts you in the lead as a city without a heart.
Well, I'm sorry to say that we may well be tipping the scale there. Yeah. So now there's a Santa Barbara Coalition on Homelessness. Is there some such organization?
There was. Now it's just kind of loosely knit. There is not much organized activity going on.
So it's the organization has sort of fallen apart.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Will, thank you so much for that report from Santa Barbara, and I
nice
think it sounds like you have some.
Let's hope that Bathrobe Pierre comes out looking healthy and fit.
Thank you.
Talk about last. What did I discuss?
Here we go. Hey, Bathrobes Pierre.
Hey there, Becker Becky.
Yeah, still up there in County Jail 8, I hear.
Yeah, I'm chomping about, stomping around in my pretty orange PJs.
Yeah, and some sleeping, too, I hear.
Oh, yeah, I've been slumbering. I've been known to slumber.
One of the legal places to sleep that is left.
Actually, that's true. Probably you might say that Santa Cruz County Jail is one of the few. Well, it actually is a domicile of the sort, I guess, although not really. I'm not sure that the Santa Cruz County Jail is a domicile. Santa Cruz, as most of our listeners know, it's illegal to fall asleep after 11 outside of a domicile or a campground, of which I think there's one in Santa Cruz, or a church parking lot if the neighbors don't get Mayor Rotkin all excited and have him closing down the campground.
You have to... homeless people have to be invisible.
Rotkin seems to have a predilection for closing down campgrounds. He did that in December with the open-air shelter, and he did it again, a week ago with the Holy Cross Church emergency camping area, which only allowed people to sleep during the day, but hey, Mayor Rotkin was on the job. If he isn't out there busting political protesters for signs, he's schmoozing with troll busters on the sidewalk and having political protesters threatened by troll busters taken away by the cops.
That's, you're really keeping up with the events here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, actually, I'm getting a number of letters. I want to thank correspondents for keeping me advised on what's going on in the Santa Cruz area. You've been very loyal. Michael Balderas has been sending me thick tomes of letters, interspersed with hostile rhetoric and repeated denunciations. He news across there, too. And, of course, Crossroads' Chris Brosda has sent me innumerable photos and a daily log of his life from age 3. Actually, not that early. I would encourage Chris in any future communications to use a word processor or a typewriter because his handwriting is sort of a cross between high. also want to add that hello to John Telfair. Thank you for your letters, John. As Matt John is a longtime advocate of the rights of inmates who are being improperly held by psychiatric institutions, which is essentially all inmates are being held involuntarily, or involuntarily drugged. Yeah.
So your mailbox has been brimming full, huh?
Well, it's certainly, you know.
And then those four-day-old Sentinels must be really a comfort.
4-day-old Sentinels are really great for making paper airplanes and using in the bathrooms for other activities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I see the Sentinel has done a blackout on the demonstration, the City Hall sleepers protest, and I see they're not interested in the...
So, Robespierre, what are you going to have for dinner tonight?
Who knows? I've already eaten dinner. I guess dinner is it. It's over.
You had it.
Yeah, we have dinner at 4 o'clock here on the Big House.
4 o'clock? Oh, well.
Yeah, dinner,
early to dine, early to bed?
Dinners are made to suit the schedules of the guards. And essentially the guards have 3 shifts, and so they give us breakfast at 5:30 in the morning, lunch at 10, and dinner at 4. It's sort of like forcing people to sleep in during the day at Santa Cruz and forcing them to stay awake all night at night under the sleeping van. I guess it's a strange situation, and there you have it.
Uh-huh. Well, so you still didn't describe this lovely fare that you had for dinner tonight.
Oh, you know, I think I gave away most of the food as part of my continuing pattern of criminal conduct as a confirmed food lord.
Oh, no. Not giving away food in jail. I mean, that might...
Once a foodlum, always a foodlum, that's what I say.
Yeah, they could keep you forever at this rate, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was mashed potatoes, there was mixed vegetables, there was 3 slices of white bread painted brown, there were 2 little things of butter, there was...
White bread painted brown?
Well, spongy wheat bread.
Well, I call that wheat-colored bread.
A tiny carton of low-fat milk.
Uh-huh.
And a Sunday piece of cake. Kind of, I also got some beans.
Uh-huh.
I am taking the vegetarian plate. I hope everybody is following this. There'll be a short quiz.
All right. What is a standard prison fare dinner, Sunday dinner?
Prison affairs, but you don't get too many of those in here. So.
Yeah, well, you're just going to have to, you've probably had to keep your womanizing down to,
I have been
you
able
know.
To get my law library petitions duplicated through the help of a person in the prison legal services who shall remain anonymous, or as well as anonymous. And so that now the 50-odd signatures which I've gotten from prisoners will not be destroyed if the petitions get confiscated.
And you've had some success getting those petitions circulated to other pods?
Well, possibly. I have sort of hearsay information about it. Usually you do this through the so-called class system. These mandatory kind of meetings that are charitably called classes. They aren't really classes. They're kind of kindergarten behavior management sessions where the teacher has a whole bunch of people there who don't want to be there, but who are told to be there, sort of like, you know, when you were a kid in school, but now these are all grown men, and, they're not interested, many of them. There are a few who are, and the teachers are very... Well, I only have one teacher, so I can't...
So do you meet with people from other pods, though, at these classes?
Another pod, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have mentioned it in another pod. I had a meditation class on Friday morning when I mentioned the petition, and I haven't yet been able to actually get it physically to the other pod, so I think somebody else has. So
mm-hmm.
Things to be looking up. They're talking about, I heard tell one of the instructors defensively said, well, we're considering putting in computers in this empty room in here. And that's nice. But they're considering numbers of things, and no doubt they've been considering just treatment of human beings for many years. But the question is, of course, what are they really doing?
Yeah, what do you think that means, putting in computers?
Talking about putting in computers for helping people access legal information that will enable them to compile defenses in their cases, and many of the people in this F pod, which contains 94 odd prisoners,
mm-hmm.
are not yet tried. I have a white wristband on, which means I'm a convicted hoodlum.
Uh-huh.
But the others are, many of them have red wristbands on, which means they have to go to court first to get a final disposition of their case.
Hmm.
And,
so those people would greatly want to have access to a law library.
White band and the red band. The white banded people often are the longer termers who actually will engage in appeals and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the red band people are the poor, pathetic folks stuck with the public defenders who never call back. And the legal services that don't give them any legal services. And essentially, they're sitting ducks under the drug law. I just talked to a guy tonight called Dallas who has, he got 16 months for a $20 bag of marijuana.
A $20 bag of marijuana?
Bales of marijuana. In fact, he actually got 32 months, but he's serving the two 16-month terms concurrently. One of them is for parole violation, the other is for the crime itself. So the war on drugs is alive and growing in America for those who have any other illusions. I mean, that's what the guy I sat with at dinner. You know, I could tell you case after case of people, and this is marijuana. Other people are here for so-called hard drug sales, heroin, crack.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some people here for other things. One guy has a whole bunch of stuff that should have thrown on him. He has a charge of attempted murder, assault, resisting arrest, a whole bunch of stuff. I play chess with him every day for a month. He's no more violent than anybody I've ever heard of. And he didn't even volunteer a story until we both got into a sort of an incident with a guard where I became concerned that he was being mistreated. And then he told me a story, which essentially was the police attacked him, shot him in the leg, and they shot out his kneecap, so he now kind of hobbles around. And, of course, then they charged him with all this shit in order to cover up what they did. And, of course, I'm not outside. I can't investigate. But I did get
mm-hmm.
his mother's number, and I intend to contact his mother when I get outside.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly even tonight, he's asked me to give her a call
mm-hmm.
and get another side of the story. So, you know, it's an interesting, eye-opening situation in here, but I wouldn't recommend it for an extended vacation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I've heard, that if you go into a jail and you talk to virtually any prisoner, they've all got really good reasons for...
Another guy I talked to, an hour before, said he was here for attempted murder. I said, did you do it? He said, yeah. He had no defense or explanation. He was quite candid.
Uh-huh.
Frankly, I'm finding that I believe the people I talk to.
Hmm.
They are, and particularly because it's not the first time I talk to them. It's like, I talk to them over a period of days or
mm-hmm.
other activities, so you can get a sense of people bullshitting you. And, you know, there's not much of that happening that I see. Of course, I am a naive kid, you know. Kind of, you know, we foodlums, you know.
The foodlums, huh? Yeah. So, have you gotten more penitent now that you're in there?
I don't know. I've gotten a little more tired in the afternoons.
Actually kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and...
Tremors 2, Aftershock, is just coming on the television. Anyway, I'm sorry. He reminds you of...
When I was a kid and family vacations... You know, on these long, tedious car trips that were just agony, the best thing to do is just sleep as much as possible and make the time go faster. But don't go to sleep now, because it's now time to run for your pencil and grab your calendar and mark up some events that are coming up. The first event is the... Wednesday, July 17th, the Food Not Bombs rally in San Francisco, my kind of town. Meet at 850 Bryant Street, which is the Hall of Justice, at 12 noon, high noon in San Francisco. And this is a rally to free Robert Norris Kahn, who is currently doing time for having given away bagels to homeless people. Yes. They are throwing people in jail for stuff like that. The rally and march will proceed
through the Tenderloin, past the farmer's market, and ending up outside of the temporary city hall on McAllister and Van Ness, approximately 1:30. So you Santa Cruzians, hop into your vehicles, jump on your buses, stick out your thumbs and hitchhike, and show up at 850 Bryant Street Wednesday at noon. On Friday is a benefit in support of the City Hall Sleepers protest. This is a protest that's been going on, it was 136 days now outside of City Hall, and protesting the sleeping ban. So there are numerous cases wending their way through our courts challenging this very law. And I heard a rumor this very day about a federal lawsuit in the works for the city council to sue the city of Santa Cruz for this unconstitutional law, which is such a flagrant abuse of human rights. To imagine outlawing sleeping. This is unbelievable. But happening in right here in our town, so the benefit to end the sleeping ban and in support of the City Hall Sleepers protest will be at the Pacific Cultural Center, 7 to 11 p.m., folk music by Mark Levy, Carla Faye, and Larry Hildes, as well as Just Kiddin'. And you know, Just Kiddin', they're just kiddin', you know. It's an $8 to $10 sliding scale, and you could call Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs at 425-3345 for more information, or you could contact Sandy or Robert. Make sure you support the Freedom to Feed, Freedom to Sleep, and come by 809 Center Street, Santa Cruz City Hall, any time of the day or night. Bring coffee, donuts, bagels, and maybe a good book to read, because it is a vigil and it goes on all the time, and we need to end this sleeping ban. Because it's not right. Just not right. 96.3 FM Free Radio. This is Becky Johnson. We'll be right back.
I played the game like I didn't care. She talked to me with the skin in her hair. The message sent that she carried inside. A pretty face in the disabled time. Talk like that I've seen before. It was sad in an open door. It was sad in a dream no
I'm make it last, yeah. Make it last, yeah. Make it last, yeah. Make it last, yeah.
Okay, and that was the Beet Farmers, Make It Last. And so I hope you're out rolling around in your cars and cruising through the city and enjoying the day and listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. What I'm going to play now is a series of interviews done by Richard Edmondson up at San Francisco Liberation Radio. And the first interview is with Bathrobes Pierre himself. So listen in for what comes from the north.
Welcome to Micro Radio in the U.S. I'm Richard Edmondson. On July 1st, 1996, I interviewed Robert Norse Kahn for San Francisco Liberation Radio. Kahn is a political prisoner who presently is in San Francisco County Jail, where he's serving a 60-day sentence for giving food to the poor. Kahn is a member of Food Not Bombs, an activist group which serves hot vegetarian meals to homeless people while organizing demonstrations and advocating for economic and social justice. The group has more than 100 chapters in the U.S. and Canada. Kahn was arrested in 1993 for violating a court injunction against serving food without a permit. Specifically, his act consisted of handing a bagel and a cup of soup to a homeless woman. Since the year 1988, there have been more than 1,000 such arrests of Food Not Bombs members in the city of San Francisco. Kahn's is the only case which has ever been brought to a trial by jury. In 1994, he was convicted after a 5-day trial during which Judge Robert Barkley refused to allow any testimony about hunger or homelessness. Barkley is an out-of-town judge who was brought in to preside at Kahn's trial after not a single judge in the city of San Francisco would agree to hear the case. In May of this year, after a lengthy appeals process, Kahn's attorney introduced a motion that Kahn's sentence be reduced to time served. Again, not a single San Francisco judge would hear the appeal, and Barkley was again given an expense-paid trip to San Francisco to entertain the motion. After an amazing hearing in which even the district attorney appeared in court and argued in favor of sentence reduction, Barkley denied the petition, and Kahn was remanded into custody on June 17th to begin serving his 60 days. Kahn is presently seeking to have Barkley disqualified and the case reopened. The following interview took place over the phone, with Kahn speaking from his new home in F-Pod in San Francisco County Jail Number 8.
This is 93.7 San Francisco Liberation Radio. We have another treat today. We have Food Not Bombs political prisoner Robert Norse Kahn calling in, and he's on the phone with us now. Robert?
Help, let me out.
It must be really a lot of fun being in jail.
Oh, it's a barrel of monkeys, so to speak.
Especially when the weather is as fine and beautiful as it has been.
Yeah, actually, it was kind of hot yesterday, although we're very insulated in this Bastille-like structure.
Well, maybe we can see if we can do a historic replay of the storming of the Bastille.
Hey, that would be historically appreciated, certainly. Most people in here, as I've mentioned, I guess, in the previous broadcast, or others have mentioned, are previously homeless people who are here on essentially ridiculous drug charges for selling or possessing or conspiracy to sell or possess or whatever you will of marijuana, heroin, cocaine, crack, things of that sort. It's really depressing because people's lives are completely destroyed by these charges. So not only do they have the drugs to contend with, but they have the jail, which is, of course, the major problem.
Yeah, and then they always complain about there's such a shortage of jail space. But then they
obviously, it's such a self-perpetuating political scam. It's used to elect politicians, and it's fueled by police desire to maintain bigger police departments through forfeiture settlements, which, of course, was fueled itself by a Supreme Court decision last week that says it's no longer double jeopardy to grab someone's assets in a civil forfeiture proceeding and then go after them criminally, in spite of lower court rulings. Amazing decision, and one that has lots of impact throughout the country. Here.
Well, it's just kind of a tightening of the screws on the American people. It just keeps going on and on and on.
It's like an infernal machine, and, you know, I guess you can't expect relief from any kind of conventional sources. It's like French government continued to do its thing in the 1780s until it produced the uprisings of 1789. That's optimistic. I have no idea whether we're in a similar situation in the United States. I somehow doubt it. More likely to have a fascist counter-revolution, but nonetheless, one must persist.
Well, to speak quite vulgarly, you wonder how long the American people will continue to bend over and allow themselves to be screwed by their own government. That essentially is what is happening.
Right. Well, I think it's a function of the fact that the people are in an isolated position, and they feel they are alone, and they have to focus on, you know, the second job that they have to use to bring in enough money to pay the one-third to one-half of the their income that goes for rent. I mean, it's you know, it's a cycle. It's an incredible cycle that goes on. But here inside FPOD on beautiful County Jail 8 here, we have, I'm having, you know, I mean, everybody here is, you get fed your 2,000 calories a day, not particularly appetizing, and there's not really enough of it. But for a big guy like me, hey, there's more than enough, and hopefully I won't get too much bigger in here.
So are you sort of like still feeling hungry even after these meager portions are served out?
Well, not so much that, although, yeah, although you don't expend much energy, although you can work out on the remaining exercise equipment. As you may know, exercise equipment is being removed from prisons throughout the state and perhaps throughout the country, I'm not sure, in another one of these let's punish them some more and show them who's boss kind of approaches. It simply increases tensions and leads to more violence in jails. It doesn't really help at all. I had long conversations with a con who's headed for back to San Quentin that I'd hope to talk to you. He's quite politically oriented, at least in terms of seeing the situation. He feels kind of hopeless about it. He doesn't know what he can do about it, but he points out that cons are enraged and disturbed at the cutbacks and conjugal visits and the shutdown of media access to jails that's happened in the last 6 months. Food Not Bombs, however, has
very transparently suspicious. I mean, you have to wonder why they would want to cut off media contact, what they're trying to hide.
Oh, I think there's no need to wonder. I mean, what they're hiding is a system of arbitrary abuses which can't really stand the light of day, and it's the less they're questioned about it, the more power they have to do whatever they want to do, they being the people all the ranging from the deputy on the cell block to the warden in the tower or the warden in the office to deputies in the tower and so forth. I got a blow-by-blow description from one of the inmates here as to how one of the riots started in San Quentin, essentially he claimed provoked by a guard. Guards apparently they take some pleasure in provoking tensions between inmates, and I've seen some of this here.
And when was this?
This was it, or it might have even been as late as November of 95. I have to refer to my notes again, and it had to do with a black guard taunting Hispanic population with threats and so forth, and then one Hispanic person or one white person responding, and then he was jumped the next day. This is according to a Hispanic person.
Guard was jumped the next day?
Not the guard, no. The prisoner. The guard doesn't get jumped, but the prisoner, instead of the prisoners turning against grievances by the system, they're, of course, turned against each other, which is, you know, an in miniature representation of what really happens in society. We all go after each other and, you know, scuttle around for the little residue crumbs that are left instead of, you know, going after the cake, which is being eaten every day in the offices. And so
well, being in prison is like, I guess, a lot like being in a pressure cooker. You know, you're locked up and the steam builds up inside, and I guess in some respects, the guards are often like comparable to the fire underneath the pot that's causing the heat to build up and boil.
Well, not just the guards. The guards are sort of, they get their own kicks out of what they do, and many of them are just people trying to go to their job and, you know, go home to their loved ones and eat and have their meals and so forth. And the problem is the whole system of locking people down tighter and tighter, giving them less and less in terms of opportunities to be human beings and to live their lives in some productive way. And, you know, now, of course, the prisons are supposed to, are reported to become geriatric farms, as this three strikes law, you know, packs the jails and destroys the court system. But I was going to say, on a more positive note, that Foodnet Bombs, at least in my pod, F-Pod, all us PUDs here in F-Pod have many of us have a positive view toward Foodnet Bombs. I've been able to get a few articles that describe Foodnet Bombs into the jail and pass them around a little bit, showing them to people. And guards included all tend to, you know, the idea of jailing people for serving food is stupid. Now all I have to do is get the idea that jailing people for drugs is stupid, and we could have a real revolution on our hands.
Do a lot of the prisoners in the jail there know about Foodnet Bombs, or did they know about them before you passed these articles around?
Don't seem to, really, although some of them do. There are some who actually have used Foodnet Bombs services. Those who've been homeless in San Francisco do. Many of the prisoners here are from Honduras, or, in fact, the majority of the prisoners here are Hispanic-speaking in this particular ward, or this particular cell block area, and they have never heard of Foodnet Bombs, or actually, candid with you, I haven't really discussed it much with the Hondurans. I probably should. Maybe I can give you more of an update when I talk to you in our next interview.
Well, you were calling today specifically to talk about the need, in your case, for somebody to do some legal work. Would you like to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that, an attorney or two has been seen doling out gruel, oatmeal gruel, in the morning at my vigil. There's a morning vigil Monday through Friday, or urging the mayor, the governor, police department, DA, the jail authorities to release me, and again, I guess to dissolve the injunction that Foodnet Bombs currently suffers under, and to stop the matrix arrests in the Golden Gate Park area throughout the city, which are continuing under our new slick Willie Brown, or whitewash Willie, as I sometimes call him. And one of those gruel servers was an attorney, a guy named John Lee. Hi, John. I want to thank you for serving gruel, and I'm looking for attorneys to kick in 6 hours of time, because I'm looking for an attorney to help with a Barkley disqualification motion. Barkley was my judge. I think he's now retired, is what I've heard. He was the one who decided that 2 months in jail was apt punishment for serving 13 people rice and bagels, and he would not hear of community service. He would not hear of house arrest as any alternatives. He would not follow the suggestions of the district attorney, who in a very rare appearance argued that I should be released simply forthwith, and I should not have to serve any time, that the whole policies of the city had changed. That was not an accurate statement, really, because the next day Keith McHenry was arrested for the same crime, but then the charges were dropped, and at least some departments, including the district attorney's department, is trying to change are trying to change the policies of the city toward the poor, not with a lot of success in some cases, because we still have the injunction, which was used, as I said, the day after I entered jail on the 17th of July or June to arrest Keith McHenry.
Okay, now explain what would be involved in.
Well, what we need
anybody
is a person who is, doesn't have to be an attorney. It could be a person who's paralegal or has had legal training, a law student, who wants to research putting together a motion to disqualify Judge Robert Barclay, the Modoc County judge who was called in on my case and who was the judge who sentenced me and who upheld the sentence. We believe he should be disqualified, or I do, and others do too, because he read an ex parte communication, that is to say, a letter directed simply to him, which denounced me and urged him to give me a longer sentence. It was a letter from a former mayor of Santa Cruz, the town that I live in, down to the south, which denounced me as an agitator and a bad guy and an instigator of violence and various other false statements. The point, though, is that the letter was one the judge opened and read thoroughly instead of not reading, as he should have done. In so doing, he prejudiced himself, and when we brought this up to him, he said, "I'm not prejudiced. We're moving on anyway." And it is getting later in the case. I mean, I'm about...
He said, "I'm not prejudiced. You're going to jail anyway."
Yes, but you're going to jail anyway, and all these motions are denied. You know, you're not going to be able to get community service or house arrest or anything else. So, we would like to find someone who's willing to put in the 3 to 6 hours it's necessary, as I hear it estimated, to get such a motion before the court and have another judge review this judge's decision. Now, we don't realistically expect that there's necessarily going to be a positive outcome from this, but one positive outcome will be we want to unseal the letter that this former mayor of Santa Cruz, who now owns the bookshop Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, his name is Neil Coonerty, that Mr. Coonerty wrote against me can be revealed and made public, and the extent of the prejudicial nature of the letter revealed for everyone to read.
You mean the judge is refusing to release this letter to the public?
We're not able to present it because I, from my lonely jail cell, do not have legal options here. I don't have access to a law library in this jail. I've tried for 2 weeks to get access to a law library. I can't. They have sent in a law student who says he will help me, and we'll see today whether he's doing any help. But frankly, we really need someone outside working on this issue. And if anybody is interested, I would encourage them to leave a message on the Food Not Bombs hotline at 985-7087. Any kind of help you can provide really would be of assistance, not simply in my case, which is, of course, an important case, I must say, but also the case of anyone else who is put in jail for serving free food. I think every time we strike a blow to derail this process of harassing poor people, because that's what it is.
Now, wasn't a copy of this letter made available to your attorney?
It was. It was made available to look at briefly at the hearing, but then it was immediately put under court seal.
Which means not even your attorney can have access to it anymore?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure, but I think the problem is that we have to have someone to investigate this and look into it. And that's what's needed at this point. If for some reason attorneys who are normally helpful on Food Not Bombs cases are all occupied with other things, can't do anything, and I'm hoping that there may be an attorney or a paralegal or a person out there with legal training who's willing to kick in 6 hours to deal with the situation. And if you are, I'll be checking that message line twice a day. And incidentally, if anybody wants to tell me anything else or has any other questions about this case or simply wants to give me a message of any sort, you can leave a message at 985-7087, and I will, I'll pick it up, and I may be able to respond to you, who knows, particularly if you're willing to accept a collect call from jail. But even if you're not, we could find some way to maybe get word out to you with a letter or something.
So how would disqualifying Judge Barclay help you now? I mean, you're already in jail, and you're already, what, like about a quarter of the way through your sentence?
Well, if Barclay is disqualified, then the matter has to be re-argued. At least the sentence modification hearing has to happen again. And this, again, allows for an opportunity for the media and the public and a new judge to hear this case again, and hopefully an unbiased judge. The very nature of the case is suspect because a visiting judge was called in. Local San Francisco judges have refused to hear this case. They passed it on to somebody who will not face voters in San Francisco, somebody who comes from a very conservative, if not to say redneck part of the state, Modoc County, Alturas, way the hell up in, the northeastern part of the state. And I think that if any local judge had to hear it, who knows, maybe they'd shift to another visiting judge from, some other county I never heard of. But if another judge has to hear it, at least it puts pressure on the judge again to pay some attention to what the district attorney had to say, which is release this guy and stop this action. And it also generates publicity for the broader issues, such as dissolving the injunction and stopping the matrix arrests, which is much more important even than my individual case.
Yeah, this is a very unusual case insofar as both the district attorney and your attorney, the defense lawyer, agreed on what should be the outcome or the disposition of this case, which was that you should be allowed to go free, having served one day in jail. And essentially, both the district attorney and your attorney, David Beauvais, were asking that the sentence be reduced to time served, and the time already served was one day in jail.
Exactly.
And the judge ruled against both of them.
Right. He not only did that, but he allowed for a 3-week delay before entering a ruling, which made some of us hopeful that he would perhaps be giving it serious consideration. But I don't know that actually happened. I think there's some who cynically suggested that he just wanted to go get orders from whoever was calling the political shots in this case. There's some who think that there is a statewide campaign against food, not bombs, and against homeless activists generally, involving anti-sitting laws, involving downtown business assessment districts, involving police attacks on food, not bombs. I'm not clear that I haven't seen any hard evidence of this kind of conspiracy or collusion, but there does seem to be a pattern of the same kind of laws that showed up in Seattle, showed up almost verbatim in Berkeley and Santa Cruz, and probably come out of some think tank in Sacramento.
Well, it's a very unusual case. I've never seen, and I've spent a few years as a reporter and going to trials and so forth, but I have never seen a judge overrule a motion that was agreed upon by both the prosecution and the defense. I've never seen that happen before.
Well, there's another basis for believing that the second judge might take a different stance on this. Although, it is, again, must be considered as a long shot because judges don't like to overrule each other. But for my mind, any kind of opportunity to bring this issue before the bar of public opinion and before the bar as well is worth a shot. While I'm in jail here, the issue has some heat to it. It has some substance to it, and once I'm gone from jail, it will, of course, you'll have to wait the next victim. And I think we should use our victims while we have them. I'm volunteering, and therefore, let's go for it.
Well, so once again, if anybody would like to volunteer their time as a paralegal, you say it would take about 3 to 6 hours?
That's what I'm told, yeah.
In a law library.
In the law library, and then you'd have to, you essentially have to prepare a motion and a set of points and authorities justifying the motion.
Okay, once again, let's give that phone number out if anybody would like to volunteer. The number is?
Hotline, and it's 985-7087. And just leave a message on it after skipping the long message.
985-7087.
Right, 985-7087.
Okay, well, Robert, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, things are going along fine. We're getting an occasional letter from, got one letter from a guy in Toronto, Canada, who wished us all well and wished that I didn't have to be in jail for serving free food, and I appreciate that. The vigil is going on outside the court at every day, I should say outside the Hall of Justice at 850 Bryant Street, and people are invited to come on down there. I guess it's between 8:30 and 10, something like that, every morning, maybe between 8 and 10. Again, you can leave, if you want to volunteer to help with that vigil, you can certainly give a call to the same, 985-7087.
And you're listening to an interview with Robert Norse Kahn, conducted by Richard Edmondson of Liberation Radio. And what you're really listening to is 96.3 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides from Jail, and I am your hostess, Becky Johnson. And while I'm talking to you, Santa Cruz, I might as well tell you about my TV show on Channel 71, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's called Club Cruise, and we're going to be talking about the Citizens Police Review Board this week, so tune in if you have a set. And if you'd like to volunteer for Food Not Bombs locally, call 425-3345 and say, I want to serve bagels too. And you can do it locally here in Santa Cruz. Didn't George Bush declare Food Not Bombs as one of his 1,000 points of light? An all-volunteer organization that uses recycled materials and materials that would have been discarded to feed hungry people? Just a rhetorical question.